Has it been going where I stop him 5 minutes before the 45, or what has been the...
In theory, it's recommended that you...
It's 30 minutes. Okay. It's 30, not 45.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. But I'll go like that, okay. 5 minutes before you're supposed to stop, which will be 5 minutes before the end of the talk.
Yeah.
And then we'll try to ramp you down.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie. And first, I would like to thank the organizers to give me this opportunity. So it's really my great pleasure and a great honor to give a talk on this symposium for Mike's birthday. So of course, the first thing to say is happy birthday, Mike. And I think I'm probably the only one in the speakers who know Mike after he becomes a physicist. So I first met Mike at 2008 and here and when I was in a KITP workshop, and then I think from the discussion we had then it's clear that Mike is a physicist, and and it's also clear that of course he's a great mathematician, and then I'm very grateful for Mike and Station Q that, to give me this opportunity to stay for 1 year in Station Q as a postdoc, and which I benefit a lot from the discussions with Mike. And so I'm very happy to see that that although I don't have any mathematics background, but Mike can tell the mathematics stories in such a clear way that I can still benefit a lot from the discussions. So just the thing that you have already seen before. So this is the Wikipedia. And I think it should be modified. And actually I have a small gift for Mike. And this is some painting. Some Chinese art, and well, not by me, and so that's exactly the reason. I mean, so I don't climb anything, so I gave Mike this painting, which is in Chinese style, and it's about some mountain in the South China. So you see, there are a lot of things that maybe you can go sometime.
I'm thinking of adopting your approach.
One thing I want to mention about this this painting, this is just a picture of that, is this this part that I the artist is nice enough to write this my name and Mike's name on it, and the translation is that happy birthday Mike and my name, and then the important thing is the date, and the date is in a Chinese traditional way. And this way of counting the time is periodic, in 60. So it actually means 2011. It actually means 2011 modulus 60. So I guess that means that you don't need to care whether it's 60 birthday or zero. So you are studying your teenager again. Yeah. Okay, so now I'm going to the my talk, and so my title is Interacting Topological Superconductors. It was a superfluid, and because everyone calls it topological superconductors, so I decided to change it back. But actually, it means superfluid because we never talk about coupling to gauge field and the charge. Okay. So a brief outline is I will review the topological superconductors very briefly, and then the main question I want to discuss is this how to describe and define the interacting topological superconductors by related to some observable topological effects, and there is in principle observable topological effects, and approach one is about gravitational response, and approach two is this proximity with S-wave superconductors. We will see that both have some different advantages. And this is the paper I will talk about. It's in collaboration with Zhong Wang in Tsinghua University now, and Shicheng Zhang in Stanford. So I don't need to say about this. So topological insulator is our generalization of the integer quantum Hall. And the quantum integer quantum Hall effect has this lambda levels, and then when you go to the edge, then there is this edge state. So it's gapped in the bulk and gapless on the edge, and the edge states are protected because they only move along one direction, like what is shown here. There is a one-way sign on the boundary. And then it's generalized to quantum spin Hall effect. So the idea is that if you can understand that from this simple picture that you have a spin up electron which has a quantum Hall and spin down electron has a quantum Hall with the opposite Hall conductance, so that time reversal symmetry is preserved, and moreover, if the Hall conductance of each spin is odd, then there is no backscattering between spin up and down electrons, which is required by Kramer's theorem, and this is pointed out by Ken Mealy's paper in 2005. I don't need to say more about this. You have heard it from Charlie's talk. But I mentioned this because it's related to the time reversing invariant superconductors. Okay, so now we go to the superconductors. So the topological superconductors are some fully gapped superconductors. And the reason why I can have topological superconductor is that the superconductors can be described in a similar way as the insulators, and the superconducting gap plays the role of the insulating gap. And when you describe it in the mean field theory, the BCS theory, then it has this band structure, it has this quadriparticle spectrum, which you can make an analogy to the electron band structure in quantum Hall or other topological insulators. And in that sense, then you can have topological superconductors just like you can have a quantum Hall effect. And the first example was discovered by Reed and Green's paper in 2000, and that's the P plus IP superconductor in two dimensions. So it's a spinless fermion with P plus IP pairing. Okay, so today I will mainly talk about the time reversal invariant topological superconductors, which are generalization just like from quantum Hall to quantum spin Hall. So for the simplest example is like I stay in 2D and I consider spin up electrons paired to each other in P plus IP, and then I consider its time reversal, spin down electron paired into P minus IP. Then this is an example that's it's time reversal invariant, due to the same reason as the quantum spin Hall case, the edge states won't backscatter to each other. That's because the Majorana fermions, which are the edge states of the topological superconductor, the Majorana fermions satisfy the same kind of Kramer's theorem as the complex fermions. So consequently, there is the same kind of Z2 protection as in Ken Mealy's case. So the only difference is that the edge states are Majorana fermions. And this is the 2D picture, and it can also be generalized to three dimensions. So the idea from two-dimension topological insulator to three dimensions is that you just have a surface state which has spin stay in the plane, and the velocity of the surface state also stay in the plane, but the spin and velocity are locked to each other. So this is a natural generalization of this 2D picture that spin up electron move to the left, spin down electron move to the right. So you can generalize that to 2D. And then you can do the same thing to 3D. So you can have this Majorana fermion, which has this spin and the velocity locked to each other. So I have to clarify that this spin is like a pseudo spin. I mean, this spin has the same time reversal property as the real spin, so t squared equal to minus 1. But it won't be a conserved spin because, like for example, in the 2D case, you are pairing up with up, so there is no conserved spin. And I think that's essential that you have no conserved quantum number that you will get these Majorana fermions. And the analogy seems to work that you can, because you have the Kramer's theorem, so you can have this topological superconductor just like an insulator case. However, there is a key difference, as it is pointed out by Andreas Ludwig and his collaborators in this paper, that this is actually classified by Z rather than Z2. So the topological insulator is classified by Z2. There are only two classes. So this is also discussed in Alexei's paper about this periodic table of topological insulators. So that's related to the key thing I want to talk about today. So this integer. So the simplest example of this topological superconductor is this helium 3B. Well, that's why I think actually I should say topological superfluid, because so far the only example is a superfluid. So helium 3B, you can understand in this picture that it has at a normal state it has some Fermi surface which is spin degenerate. So I draw them separately, just doesn't mean they are really separate. It's just they are actually at the same place, but it's separated in the way that you pick the spin along and the opposite to the momentum direction, because these are the eigenstates of the pairing. So this one pairs with opposite spin, and this one pairs with opposite spin. But the important thing is that the two Fermi surfaces has opposite sign of pairing. If they have the same sign, that's just S wave. So this case then it corresponds to the simplest case where topological comb number is n equal to 1. And in general, so in this paper of Andreas, and they have this winding number formula that you can, given the bulk Hamiltonian, band Hamiltonian, then you can calculate this winding number. And we have a work recently, last year, to show that you can also reduce this formula to a Fermi surface formula. So that's like shown by this picture. Like you can look at the Fermi surfaces in the system, and because it's in three dimensions, so the Fermi surfaces are two-dimensional. And for the two-dimensional Fermi surfaces, you can define a Chern number, which comes from the Barry phase curvature of the states crossing the Fermi surface. And if basically if there is a crossing point inside, then you get a non-trivial Chern number. And then, so in this choice, when you split the spin in this way, you actually have a non-trivial Chern number 1 and minus 1. And then if you sum the Chern number weighted by the sign of pairing, which is plus 1 or minus 1, then you get this winding number. So for example, here in this case, you get a 1. Okay, so so this is like the introduction part, and then the main thing I want to talk about is so far all these discussions are about the band Hamiltonian. So given the band given the BDG Hamiltonian, I can define this topological winding number from bulk or surface from Fermi surface or from the whole Brillouin zone. But so is it stable with the interaction? Maybe we will hear that from Alexei's talk later. So this classification of non-interacting theory sometimes is not stable. Like in one dimensions, Alexei and Lucas has shown that there are some cases where integer z will be reduced to some discrete group like z8. So in the 3D case, is it stable? So if we want to really get a way to start from an interacting Hamiltonian and then obtain the topological environment, that will be very difficult. But there is kind of a easier way to answer this question. So if you don't know really how to like solve an interacting system, but if you can define this topological environment for the interacting system in a way that is independent from any detail, and it's by definition it's quantized, then there is then you know that it's stable with the interaction. Basically, it means if you can relate this topological environment n to some observable number, and that observable number is always quantized. So that's like the example in the quantum Hall conductance case, that you define it as the so it's a physical observable, and then you can prove that that it's always quantized. And in that sense, then even if you don't know how to really describe the interacting system, then you know that it must be a robust topological classification. Okay, so then to do this, we have two different proposals. So the first one is this response in gravity. So that is helpful to understand that from this comparison with the insulator case. So for a topological insulator, I forgot to put a reference. Sorry. So for a topological insulator, insulator is by definition conserving charge. So the way you describe it, you relate this topological environment to an observable quantity, is that you have this general theory which has a fermion and that has a charge. And then as long as it has a conserved charge, you can couple it to a gauge field. And we don't consider the dynamics of the gauge field. I use this gauge field as a probe. And then I integrate out the fermion, I got the effective action of the gauge field. And then in 3+1 dimensions, in general, I will have this topological term. And there will be other terms, but this is the only topological term, which is independent from metric. And then you can ask, what's the coefficient of this term? So the important thing is that this this integral is the second trend number if theta is a constant. So on any compact manifold, then theta, then this integral give you an integer, so that theta is periodic in 2π. So consequently, if you have time reversal invariance, then you can show that theta is odd, so theta has to be 0 or pi. And this immediately tells you that there is this classification, and this classification is generic, no matter whether it's interacting or not. So you can always ask, what is this coefficient? And it's physical because it's related to electromagnetic response. And to see that more physically, you can take a domain wall of theta that on the boundary of topological insulators, that the domain wall where theta changes by pi, then you can obtain a transaminous term on the surface from this theta term, and the coefficient will be half of what you get in the quantum Hall. Yeah.
If the bulk break time reversal symmetry, then the theta is not quantized. Then that is on the surface. Do you have any quantized Hall effect?
Yeah, you can get anything. Yeah. So if the bulk is not quantized, then the surface Hall effect doesn't have to. It can be continuously tuned, and also it can come from topologically trivial reason. Like an ordinary magnetic electric material. I can also have that. So the non-trivial thing is that for a time reversing invariant bulk, the half is the only thing you can get, and that's really topological. You cannot get it from non-topological reason. Yeah?
I'd like to make sure I understand your normalization. So there's a minimal normalization so that you can define turn cycles invariant on spin 3 manifolds.
Mm-hmm.
You have half of that minimal normalization.
Yes. And that's because this three manifold is not really a three manifold. It's on the boundary of a four manifold. So there's no inconsistency, because what I really have is this. And that's a completely gauge invariant, no problem. OK, so it's natural to make an analogy and ask what can we do like that here. So for topological superconductors. But then there is no charge conservation. Well, in the way if we follow the classification of the non-interacting case, then the classification is done for each symmetry class, and the superconductor is defined as the symmetry class which has no charge conservation. Then in that case, I cannot use a charge to couple a gauge field, and basically the only thing left is energy conservation. And then the natural choice is I use a gravity field to couple to the system. And the guess will be, because we want to discuss the general interacting system, then we cannot really derive this for interacting system. But the guess is for any given interacting system, if you couple it to the gravity, then due to the same reason as the theta term, in general you get this Pontryagin invariant, which is the theta term for the gravitational for the curvature r. And due to the same reason that this is quantized, then theta is a phase. And you can say, OK, if it's time reversal invariant, then theta is a 0 or pi. And indeed, you can also do a calculation. So you can write down the Hamiltonian for helium 3b. And the interesting thing is that helium 3b Hamiltonian actually looks like the same as the Dirac Hamiltonian, because the parent term is linear in k. And so they play the role of this derivative terms here. And then, of course, in the mass, there are some quadratic terms. So you need to choose this. You need to specify the cutoff. Otherwise, you cannot distinguish positive and negative mass. So once you choose the cutoff, then you can distinguish positive and negative mass. So when you integrate over the fermions, according to previous works in high energy physics a long time ago, then you can get this term from integrating out the fermion. basically the reason is the same as why we get a theta term. So I would like to mention that this gravitational field theory approach is studied independently in one work of Shinsei Ryu and Joe Moore and Andreas Ludwig. So I guess you, I'm sure you will hear more about this in Andreas' talk. Okay.
Is there a linear combination of the quadrangle and the Euler density?
I'm sorry?
Why isn't there a second term in principle from the Euler density?
Where is the second term?
There's another R squared
invariant. Oh, you mean why is there not a Euler density? There is actually, yeah, so actually the Euler density is T invariant, and this is T breaking. So the Euler density, even if it has a term like this and with the coefficient theta, it won't give you any topological classification because theta will be an arbitrary number. And there is another comment that I learned from Ed Witten that if for any system with a given matter there, the Euler density will be zero. If the matter is static, there is a vector. There is a constant vector. The matter is not disappearing. Then you don't have a Euler density. You don't have a finite Euler number. Which I'm just I don't really know. but at least it doesn't give you additional classification, because this is the only term which breaks time reversal, and that's essential.
That's for the integrated.
Yeah, integrated. Yeah. So you have a system and. And if it's uniform, filling the whole space, then you have a term like this. But that's usually for when you break time reversal in the system. However, there are special cases where you don't break time reversal and theta is pi. And that's the non-trivial case. OK. So the physical consequence of this theory, we can discuss in the same way as the insulator case. So you can, when you have a boundary where theta change from zero to pi, then you can reduce this to a gravitational Chern-Simons term. And this gravitational Chern-Simons term for the P plus IP case has been discussed in Rita Green's paper. And here we will get a Chern-Simons term which is has level half of that. Yeah, has level half of that. Just like in the insulator case, we will get a half level Chern-Simons term of the gauge field. So that's again because I'm not really having a three manifold. I have a four manifold, which the three manifold bound a four manifold. So so then there is a more direct consequence which will be useful later. So when you have when you consider two ways to break time reversal on the boundary. So yeah. So I haven't emphasized that to get this Chern-Simons term on the boundary, of course, you need to break time reversal on the boundary, although it's not T-breaking in the bulk. But there are different ways to break time reversal on the boundary. One corresponds to I have theta from pi to zero. The other corresponds to theta from pi to 2 pi. So if I have two kinds of such boundaries, and then there is an interface between the two boundaries, then on the interface, the interface is actually a vertex for the theta, so it's like an axion string. And then you will get an anomaly on the vertex, and that corresponds to the fact that on the vertex there is a Marana, there is a chiral Marana fermion, which carries this anomaly. However, it's important to see that from the bulk you cannot tell whether it's this case or this case, because there is no way to know if I break time reversal in some specific way, you may get theta change by pi, or you may get 2 pi, or you get 3, you get pi or minus pi or 3 pi or anything. So that's exactly this problem of this approach, that it actually gives you a Z2 classification rather than Z. And because theta is only a phase, and the time reversal requires a 0 or pi. So the question is, does that mean the Z classification is not stable, only Z2 is stable? At the beginning, that's what I thought. But it turns out to be not like that, and it's kind of more stable than what that indicates. So to see that, we try to propose an alternative approach, and I don't have much time to go to that. And basically, we want to look at the surface state picture. Let's first look at the surface state picture for non-interacting case, and then we use this way that we translate into an observable effect and go to interacting case. Okay, so the surface Hamiltonian is a Marana fermion, and the important thing is that in two plus one dimensions, if you have time reversal symmetry, the surface Majorana fermion has, there are two distinct types of surface Majorana fermions. If it's Dirac fermion, there is no two distinct types. You can deform any Dirac fermion to other Dirac fermion in 2 plus 1 because there is no chiral fermion. But for Majorana fermion, there is some kind of chiral fermion. And then this topological invariant is related to this surface Majorana fermion number of surface Majorana cones by, so you have the left minus right is equal to the topological number. So, but the problem is in general, you see the same problem as in the gravitational response theory here by looking at the surface states. So you have the surface Majorana fermions, and if I break time reversal, then I can give it a mass. And then if the mass has a domain wall, then I can have a chiral Majorana fermion on it. But if I just say, okay, I have this topological supernatural, then I break time reversal on the surface by some generic T-breaking field, then in general, I can give a different mass to different Majorana cones. Say I have n of them, and they can get different mass, and the mass can have different sign. So in general, I don't know whether the chiral Majorana fermion on the domain wall is going this way or that way. And that's exactly why in the gravitational probe, I can only detect the Z2 part, because the gravitational theory doesn't know whether what is exactly this T-breaking field on the surface. However, there is a special mass which is the same for everyone. So like if you take constant mass m for each of them, then of course you can get get this chiral Majorana fermion going all along the same direction. Then the number of chiral Majorana fermion here gives you this topological invariant. But that seems a trivial statement, because if I can choose the mass to be the same, of course I can do this. But the non-trivial thing is that there is a physical meaning of this constant mass for each of them. And that means it's doable. Like in the topological insulator case, it's not doable. So in this case, you have a way to choose not only some generic T-breaking field, but a special T-breaking field which give you the same mass for all the Majorana fermions. And that is the S-Weil pairing. So S-Weil pairing is up paired with down, but more generally is any state paired with time reversal planar. So that's why it's special. It's as long as you define a time reversal, this S-Weil pairing is well defined. You don't need to know any other things. Even if you have disorder or anything, time reversal defines the S-Weil pairing. And then so once you define that, I'm almost done. Once you define that, then you can show that this opens a gap and give you the same mass for all the surface Majorana fermions. Okay, so that leads to this statement that if you have a S-Weil pairing in proximity with the topological supernatural we have, and you choose a face of the S-Weil pairing, because if the face is 0 or pi, then you don't break time reversal, you won't open a gap. But if the face is not 0 or pi, then you open a gap. And then you choose a different boundary condition, which is the S-Weil pairing with a different face, the opposite face, by time reversal. And then you see this on the boundary, there are chiral Majorana fermions. And these chiral Majorana fermions, the number of chiral Majorana fermions are not only determined by modulo 2, but it's completely determined by the S-Weil. And that tells you the topological invariant. And this is a physical observable, because we know this chiral Majorana fermion carries a thermal current, as shown in this earlier works in CFT. And that's also discussed in the quantum hall and the P plus IP by Kane Fisher and Reed and Green. So here we will have we just measure the thermal current, which can tell you the n. Okay, that's the summary. So in summary, we have this two different approaches, and the Z2 part can be probed by the gravity, but more generally, you can probe it by proximity effect. And in conclusion, happy birthday, Mike. Thanks.
Can you go back to the last few graphs? Is there something like an AC Josephson effect in this system, in which if you put a voltage between these two superconductors so that you can think of the phases evolving as a function of time, there would be a corresponding AC thermal current in that direction?
I guess the
DC voltage between the two superconductors leads to an AC thermal current.
I'm not sure whether that's an AC thermal current, because if it's an AC, I mean, if the phase are oscillating, then that is an AC current. But in the middle, there is some place where the whole thing become gapless. I mean, when the phase are zero, then the whole surface become gapless, and that seems to be.
But that would be the zero point, and then it would reverse the other direction.
Yeah.
And then the forward direction.
So if this is very slow, then indeed you have a thermal current which is going this way and then smear to the surface and then go that way and smear to the surface. So I agree with you.
Any other questions?
When is it smeared to the surface?
I mean, if the phase, as Charlie said, when this is AC, when the phase is oscillating, then if the phase is zero or pi, there is a gap closing. Because you can think that the phi equal to pi over 2, there is a, like the transition between phi equal to pi over 2 and minus pi over 2 is like from p plus ip to trivial. It's like changing the winding number by 1. Mm-hmm. This is like half of p plus ip, and this is like half of p minus ip. So in the middle, there must be phase transition.
Yeah, if phase difference is not pi, if it's just some arbitrary phase, what happens?
I think So in general, if we want to make the statement rigorous, then it's like any phase here, which opens a gap, and the opposite phase. But if you change this so that they are not opposite, but you are still in the gap, the surface gap is not closed, then the number of chiral fermion cannot change. So it must be the same.
Okay, let's thank our speaker.
Thanks.